Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Oh, man, it's, tell you what, it's been an incredible week. Busy. Tiresome. We're coming off of, man, this feastly high. And you know, look, let me tell you, it's been incredible. And right back to our normal lives. Look, you walk in here, it's like we're back to normal. All right. Well, we're going to see what the scripture talks about, where it leads us, and how it warns us. And I tell you, it's very incredible. Look, my week this week, I was just sharing with Pat. I told it to Brother Rob and Chad last night. I said, man, we're coming off the feast day, and me and Brother Chad got a little texting going on. And he says, man, he's texting me a bunch of word and scriptures. I'm trying to, you know, just trying to absorb, and he's texting me stuff. I said, man, it sounds like a man getting ready for Wednesday night. But he never did quite confirm with me that he said he was going to take it. So come Tuesday morning, I get up early because we got fishing trips going on, and I said, man, so I'm focused on Wednesday night. I said, well, and that's where my energy was going, because I was going to the Haftorah in that First Kings. That's some really good stuff in First Kings, if you hadn't visited the Haftorah lately. You know, he talked about Dawid and the charge, the command he gives. So anyway, that was my focus. I was getting myself prepped and primed for that. So Wednesday morning, that Tuesday passed by, Wednesday morning, I'm in the bathroom getting ready, and I'm thinking about Wednesday evening. And all of a sudden, just, you hear that little noise. You hear this little voice in your ear. It says, don't worry about Wednesday. You get ready for the weekend. Shabbat's coming. I'm like, oh, yeah. So Wednesday night, boy, Wednesday morning, I went straight into this. So, because let me tell you, we haven't even scratched the surface. So hopefully this morning we can pick up where Brother Rob left off. And this has been some incredible word we've been getting here. So, you can see where I stopped right here. Let me back up because it's not where we're at. And we had to start at verse 10. In Genesis 24, verse 10. We're still dealing with about the life of Sarah. So, and look, it seems like we're dragging our feet, but we're taking our time. And I'm so glad, because now you're able to see all these little gems and nuggets and rubies that's been hidden for years, that what we thought we were just going through. That, you know, translation sometimes has a way of throwing you off and throwing you a curve, and sometimes we miss things. So I'm glad we're slowing down, and whatever it takes us, it's going to take us there. And we'll get there when we get there. So we're going to pull our text from Genesis chapter 24, verse 10. It's about the life of Sarah. And the servant took 10 of his master's camel. I know we had this last night. And left for all his master's good gifts. Now we have to look at that. Good gifts were in his hand. And he arose and went to Aram the Harim, to the city of Nahor. Now our master has given us good gifts. And we should treasure these gifts, these very moments, because they may be your last. They may be my last. So look around. Well, I can tell you, do this while you're sitting down. Strap in. Put your cookie seatbelt on. Because look, I'm going to do my best to go as slow as possible. I know we got time to get, but we got to get all this in, because that's some important issues we got to cover. It's no coincidence that we're in chapter 24, verse 10. He takes 10 of his master's camel, and now we see the letter Yod, 10. What a coincidence that this pops up. I was looking at this, I've never seen this. That the Yod is what? It's the work, the hand and arm, activity, the deed, what you do. It's in the Hebrew. I have a chart on my phone where I look at all the old Hebrew, the paleo, and the modern. And this is what the definition may come. It's the arm and hand and work of Yahweh. Now we see Yahweh's hand in every step of this way. Because we're going to know his servant asks for it. And we are his servants. His hand has to be in our business. Right. If his hand ain't your business, I don't know where you stand with him. It's the smallest of the Hebrew letters. And it's that good gift. Let's just hold your place. We're going to go to Matthew right quick, because Matthew seems to be a popular guy here we've been looking at lately. In chapter 7, and looking at verse 8, And I promise we're going to get right back on that. This is just a, and we ain't got to the preaching part yet. Chapter 7, verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. Now we're going to see this, we're going to see it in Elisar. He's going to ask something right here in a little bit. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. Now, this week I was asking you, about, look, what we need, where we go from here. Because it seems like a really short subject. You can read through it and breeze, and you miss everything out of it. He said, or is there a man among you who, if he asks for bread, shall he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, shall he give him a snake? Now, no father would do that. For sure not. Especially not the snake. Now, we might do a little joke, and maybe if he asked him, he'd give him a stone. We might play like that with our children. But, you know, but he ain't in the playing business. If then, being wicked, what's he say that is? Know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in the heaven give what is good to those who ask him? How do you know that? We're going to go back to Elazar right here. This was a little lanyard for y'all. Something in your spare time to go look at. 24:10. Now, it's no coincidence that we, like I said, we're on the yod. Think about it. Now, if we take 10 more letters, we're going to be in the resh. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, because the resh is the highest, most important person in this subject we're about to talk about. Right now, being Itzhak. Because why? We got to get that boy married. He's about to inherit a wife. We're about to have children. We all come from that seed. So you can see these two letters sprung out to me like, where did this come from? I sure ain't thinking about that at 3:30 in the morning, about the yod and the resh. But that was just a little something that I picked out sitting there looking at the scriptures. And we're going to see another important person in here in just a little bit. We're going to get to her. I'm going to just give you a little hint. It's to her. Aram Naharim is H763, is Aram of the two rivers. It's the Tigris and the Euphrates. It's just a little history, a little something for you to go look at. That way we know where we're at when we're dealing with these subjects. You have to go look at them. And Nahor is H5152, is snorting. It also is tied into H5170, Makar, which is also snorting. So we're going to see that in the scripture too. You know, and that's going to tell us that when we face situations in life, are we going to just basically brush it off? Or pass it on to the next guy? Or, you know, we have to, as believers, as followers here, this subject is going to break us down. I'm telling you, we're going to really get to the meat. But just think about these definitions. Write them down. Go back and look at them for yourself. Do your own homework. I told a guy this week on the boat, I had the chance to share a few things with him. Don't believe me what I'm telling you. We talked about a lot of stuff. I said, just go look at the information for yourself. He said, man, I need to get back into church. My wife goes, he said, but I don't. I said, well, yeah, you should. I said, but we look at it now from a Hebrew perspective. Give us a different look and just a one way. Because then we say, when you get to this one way, you miss stuff. Verse 12. And he said, Yehovah. Now this is the asking of the Father. That's why I read that first. And he said, Yehovah Elohim of my master Abraham, please cause her to meet me this day and show loving commitment to my master Abraham. He's asking. So you think the Father's not gonna be there present for him? You think he won't be present for you and I if we ask? If we humbly ask? Not none of that. Not the snorting. We have to ask humbly. Now this word has said, I know we had it many, many times, it's H2617, but have we really looked at it? It's kindness. We know that. Loving commitment, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. It's all these words, gentleness, self-control. It leads you down that path. But there's some key elements in there because it's has linked to a root word, H2616. It's called hasad. Hasad is to be good, be kind. This has to be in you. To say, I'm following the master, but if you don't have this hasad in you, I wonder what master you're following. It also ties into a word, H2603 is Haman. Haman is to be gracious, show favor, even pity. Now, pity is not a bad word. Pity just is a form of just humbling yourself. It also goes to another root word, H2583. It's like, man, those root words, you need them. Sit down and spend time. This is what he wants to do with us. This is why we're taking our time. It's Haman. It's to decline, incline, encamp, bend down, lay siege against. Now, we're not going to lay no siege against nobody, but you're going to see his what is he doing? He's humbling himself, praying before his master, praying before Yehovah, because he's asking. He's in need. Let me tell you, I can see this journey when he leaves Abraham, because why? He just swore to Abraham that I'm going to do this thing for you. But you think, who do you think the pressure is on? It's like when we come here every week. You ready? Yeah, we better be ready. It's too late to try to say, well, I didn't study. Or I didn't get, you should have made time for him. Because if we ain't making time for him in our busy lives, then we're wasting our time. So we're gonna see that in the scripture, I promise you. You can write that down. It also links to a root word, H1288, barak, to kneel, to bless. Because we want that part. We'll definitely take the blessing. But with the blessing comes the sharpness. Nobody really likes the sharpness a whole lot. But it comes. You have to. You have to embrace it. As students and servants, we need it. So that's just a little bit extra on the loving commitment that we really, it's more than just saying being kind. It really digs down deep in ourselves to find where all this needs to come from. This is what he's trying to bring out in us. He says, see, I'm standing here by the fountain of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, you know that well, and I'm going to tie it in here just a little bit, but we're going to read something else. But when you push that, the word well is H565869. It's iron. What does iron got to do with the well? It's not even a definition for when you think of well. This is what the Hebrew does. This is when you spend time, because why? Why the iron? You remember back just a few chapters ago in chapter, I wrote it down, 16. I want to make sure I get this right. It's in there somewhere. Hey, there it is. It's in chapter 16, verse 14. The word well there is H875. But this right here, iron, is H5869, iron. You remember what he told, what she said when she went by the well, how Behi Leroy, the one who sees, there's your iron. A different well than what you're thinking about where she went to the beginning. This well is spelled with an iron. He sees where we're at all the time. We're at the well. There's another time that was a man was at the well, and he said, Master, how are you going to get water, this living water from this well? You got nothing to draw with. All it ties in. When you start digging down into that, I promise you. Now we have to read some of that because I want to get back to it because we really have to get a little bit further down. But in Jeremiah chapter 2, and this is let me tell you something. This chapter is very tough. You're going to say, what does it have to do with the Torah portion? It has everything to do with it because we're going to look at it together. Maybe it'll fit you. Maybe it may not fit you. But let me tell you, we need it. We need to hear it. Sometimes we need the warning, the sharpness. And this is what chapter 2 of Jeremiah is going to express about. Because why? We're coming off the spiritual high. We're getting back to our normal lives. And we zoom, 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 like our little puppy dog. Zoomies. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, and the word of Yehovah came to me, saying, go, and you shall cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, we are Jerusalem. You're a part of it. If you're identifying with them, you're a part of it. Thus says Yehovah, I remember you, the loving commitment of your youth, the love of your bridehood. What are we getting ready to read about, Rivka? The youth, bridehood? When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. That sounds beautiful right out the back, like poetry right there almost. Yisrael was set apart to Yehovah, the first fruits of his increase. What did we just finish? All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares Jehovah. Your face just went from wow to man. Hear the word of Yehovah, O house of Yaakov. That's who we are. And all the clans of the house of Yisrael. Because why? Who was Yaakov? Yisrael. Thus says Yehovah, what unrighteousness have your fathers found in me? That they have gone far from me and went after worthless and became worthless. When you, like I said, we're coming off this spiritual high and we're back to our normal lives. And when you don't stay within the compounds, what he has designed for us, all these other things become worthless. And become worthless. And did not they say, where is Yehovah, who brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, a land where no one passed it through and where no one dwelt? He did that for them. But that's not what we're asking him. We're not trying to hit Yehovah with any questions. We have to trust him. Whatever this road takes us, is be prepared. Because not one time I read, he said this road is an easy road. No, that was nothing easy. By working, he fast 4 or 5 days. Then I asked my wife, look, going to bed at 8 o'clock. Then ain't got to, look, 2:30, 3 o'clock comes fast every morning. It's like I just fell asleep, even this morning. Oh, let me tell you, life is short. It's moving by fast. We have to be willing to embrace whatever comes our way. But our humbleness and how we embrace it, how the servant is dealing with this load. This is a load to carry. Look, this Jeremiah chapter 2, you ought to be glad I'm speaking it. Because and not someone else. Then I brought you into a garden land to eat its fruit and his goodness. What? He wants the best for us. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. You know, Elisar, he's entrusted all his the good gifts. If he can't afford to squander Abraham's, we're going to read about the nose ring and the bracelets. We know we heard it last night. We're going to just a recap. So this is what it's talking about. Because I promise you, when you sit down, you can go right back to where it'll lead you. And it's just amazing that Jeremiah I don't know how he popped in the notes, but it's in there. I don't want to squander what he's given me and to be an abomination to him. Shame on me and shame on you. The priest did not say, where is Yehovah? And those who handled the what? What did your Bible say? Torah. His instructions do not know me. I'm so thankful that just a few years ago, somebody heard about the Torah and was willing to start sharing, breaking down with us What we've been missing, what we thought we were saying what was good was really an abomination to him. So when I was going through this, this is some tough stuff. It's hard to say it, but you have to. It's either that or I got to sit down. And the shepherds transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after matter that did not profit. They were worthless. What we were doing was worthless. But now, I'm so thankful. Now I start to see the beauty of the word. When you really want to see it, it's there for you. Look, I told Brother Rob, I didn't tap into one slide last night. Because if he can't teach me, the slide is really going to be no help. But it is. It's to help you navigate. Look, we all need help. And I appreciate the slides. I really do. But sometimes he just wants to spend time with you and show you himself what it says. Therefore, I still contend with you. Why? Because you need the sharpness. Because sometimes we get, like I said, we come off the spiritual high, we might tend to get a little loose. We've seen this happen before. We know. The scripture said they were let loose because Aharon let them loose. The high priest. That's a whole nother subject. Therefore, I still contend with you, declares Jehovah, and with your children's children I contend. That hurt me this morning. Because I was the one that caused them to be in the area where they're at because of my unfaithfulness. For I passed beyond the isles of Kittim, and see, and send to Kedor, and observe well, and see if there has been any like this. Has a nation changed its mighty ones, which are not mighty ones at all? Do we have idols still that we want to hold on to, that they're worthless? But my people have changed my esteem for that which does not profit. Now, when you hit that with your finger, if you had the blue letter edition, that caught my attention this morning. And it's in the King James Version. I'm not against King James, but if you're just a King James person, and like some people I know, then I'm King James, King James, King James. It says, has the nations changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory. We have no glory. You missed that. We're trying to change his glory. You can't diminish the Most High. You can't change his glory. He said, my glory, I won't even give to, he wouldn't do it for his son. You think, and we're going to change his glory? We better pay attention to what we're reading and be observant, especially in the time and age. I told a guy, the guy the other day, I said, there's so much things out there that's so deceptible. I said, we went to Disney one time, and I said, there was these holograms. It looked so real, but it's fake. It really is. But there's a time coming, I read in the scripture, that we better know the truth. Because if not, he said, if possible, if he hadn't shortened the days. And it feels like the days have gotten shorter. It really does to me. He said, if possible, if he didn't shorten the days, the very elect would be deceived. I'm so glad he's looking out for me. He's got my back. He's got your back. He knows what we need. But my people have changed my esteem for that which does not profit. Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be frightened, be utterly dried up, declares Jehovah. What be frightened? Look, we have something, an event coming that the world's starting to wake up to. Finally, they're talking about it. I don't know how well they go into details about it, but I'm so glad we was brought that attention, and I shared that with that guy because he asked me about the eclipse. I said, yeah, I know about it. Talking about it, I said, but you haven't really looked at it. What's it going to spell? I said, what a coincidence it's going to spell out two paleo ancient Hebrew letters. I said, just go look at it for yourself. Don't believe me. Go look at it for yourself. For my people, here we go. He keeps saying my people. Why is he not saying the nation? But he keeps saying my people because we claiming Yisrael. We claiming that title. That's why he says, for my people have done two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. What the fountain? And where is Elazar at? The well. the fountain. But how you know this is the real fountain that we need to be at, spend time at? Because why? That's the living water. What did Yeshua say? Out of your belly shall flow the most living water. Well, he was at the well. So he told the woman at the well. To hew out for themselves cisterns, cracked cisterns, which do not hold no water. Now, that's a Bayou word, so y'all don't know. Nobody used the word cisterns today. I'm sure, depending on the age group, maybe Miss Casey, I don't know. But what in the world is a cistern? Well, when I was coming up, that's what they called them. And they were made, if you ever seen them, they were made out of cypress wood. I've seen old cisterns with a wooden plug at the bottom. And you had to put the brass band around them. I've never seen them built. They was already built when I come around. But we had them. They were open at the top to catch the rainwater. Why? Because if there's no water inside, it was cracked. So the old generation of the body, what they did, they rubbed a little, lightly greased the inside of the wood. And it would help them swell, and it would help the wood from, I guess, rotting. I don't know. I was too young to even ask about it. But cisterns was around for a long time. And when there's no water in them, look at the wood on the inside compared to the out. They paint them white or green or trim, whatever, a little trim around it. They were nice looking. They were old style. But this is a word, I thought this was very interesting in the word that you can see they've been around for a long time. I put that up in my front yard, you'd be like, what in the world is that? Hey, we may have to go back to that. Already we've had the power been shutting off every evening for the past two or three evenings. Look, you need water. Because if not, what happens? You get cracked over time. You get dry. And once you get dry, it starts leaking. And there's nothing more worse than a leaking cistern. That's what probably one thing worse is a leaking boat. Now these old wooden boats, same thing. Before they put the cabin on and when they were just building the hall, I remember seeing this when I was a kid, they had to go caulk the butts. Now, this might sound funny, but this is what they did. They took cotton, they rolled cotton, and they would caulk on, and there was certain part where the wood met together, so it would caulk the butts. That's what they had to do. And then they would shove them off the shipyard and purposely let them sink so they would swell, and after that pump them out, and then you had a good boat ready for sailing. Then they put the motor in and everything else. Don't put the motor in and let your boat sink. Don't do it backwards. But this is what happens when you get dry in time. When you hew out a cistern for yourself and you get away from the word and you think that you can do stuff on your own, you can't. Because he just said you can't. Is Yisrael a servant? We're servants to him. Was he born in the house? We're born in his house. Why is he given to plunder? I can tell you why. Because you hewed out cisterns for yourself that can hold no water. That's pretty self-explanatory. Even the sons of Noph and of Tanphanes have shaven the crown of your head. I'm going to tell you, go look at it. I couldn't even touch that because I got enough of my own stuff. But this is back in Egyptian. There's some things that happened back there. Noph and Tanphanes were places. Have you not done to yourselves by forsaking Yehovah? Didn't he say yourself? Have you not done this to yourself by forsaking Yehovah, your Elohim, when he led you in the way? In what way? In the way of righteousness where he's been trying to lead us. But when you think there's a better way, then what do? We blame someone else. But he just said, it's you yourself. You sever yourself. You cause you to be where you at. No one else. It ain't me. It ain't the pastor. It ain't your neighbor alongside of you. It's you yourself. It always sounds better when because nobody wants to go down by themselves. And now, why take the way to Mitzrayim? Because we just come out of that. by forsaking. Oh, my bad. I'm going back there, verse 17. And now why take the way to Mizraim to drink the waters of Seor? Or why take the way to Ashur to drink the waters of the river? Your own evil instructs you. That could have been, you could have put a period right there. But that's what happened. It's your own thoughts. It's your own ideas. It's why sometimes we get in the pinch that we get. It's simple. It really is. Alasar didn't have to, he didn't have to take that oath, but he did. Because why? He loved his master. That's why. Why do we do what we do? We love our master. But look, it's only been 1 week since all the fun. We're still counting. We still got 6 more Shabbats to count. It's a journey that you're on. We're going to see that. Your own evil instructs you, and your backsliding reprove you. Now we know what backsliding is, if you want to hit the strongs on it. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter that you have forsaken Yehovah your Elohim, and that my fear is not in you, declares the Master Yehovah of hosts. When you lose the fear of him, you're in trouble. You really are. It's only his mercy and grace that even allow you back. Because no matter what you and I can preach, no matter message we can say, no matter how much we even try to pray for them. Because when you go to Jeremiah chapter 7, I ain't going to jump on that. Go read it for yourself. He says, you can pray. I don't even hear your prayers. At some point now, when you cross the line, you need him. Because only him, only he can restore life. Only he can give life. Only he can bring you back. Because why? You might as well just dug your own grave, really, basically, when we turn from him. That's what backsliding will do to you. You'll slide so far back, you can't even, you think the back is the front. Why? Because your own evil instructs you. Verse 20. For of old I have broken your yoke and torn off your chastisement. He's delivered you. He delivered us. Why would we desire to want to go back? I have no desire where I've come from. And you said, I'm not serving you. When on every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down a whore. This is what that road will take you when you stray from him. When you get outside the boundaries, he's telling you, he's warned us. This is just 1 week that's passed. Don't lose your focus on him. Don't lose your well, your fountain. Don't stray too far because you may need it. It's hot out there. It's dry. Don't think you can hew you out a cistern when there's not even rain. You had to depend on him. A well in the desert is better than a cistern, I can tell you. You need that well. I mean, it was so funny, Pastor was even talking about it. So Pastor Shaw ain't got a whole water to go ahead and water his plants. Well, that was just a little funny. Yet I planted you a choice vine. Wow. A what? A choice vine. All of it a true seed. How then have you turned before me into a degenerate plant of a strange vine? Wow. These are some strong words. Very strong. We have to take warning, take heed to what he talked about. Because why? He's a choice vine. We don't support the root. He supports you and I. How do you see where this goes? This subject will spread out like roots all over. Is it tied into the Torah portion? Yes. Is it tied into the Brit Hadashah? Yes. It goes all over. Y'all roots go all over. But a degenerate plant? Backsliding? That's what that is. Although you wash yourself with lyre and with much soap, yet your crookedness is ingrained before me, declares the Master Yehovah. I don't care how much Victoria's Secret you can wash off or put on. We use Victoria's Secret because she's always somebody. Well, look. She, only thing she's good for is to keep the gnats away. Victoria, don't nobody want to smell you. What's that flavor? Amber Romance. He don't want to smell your Amber Romance. He wants to smell kindness on you. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. Not Amber Romance. Ugh. Ingrained before me. I had to sit down like, I don't even know what ingrained is. It's an adjective. It's of a habit, belief, or attitude firmly fixed or established, difficult to change. Look, we got some things in us that we don't want to get rid of. That's the fact. But we have to. Because one thing, you can't take it with you when you go. So you might as well enjoy what he wants you to enjoy in him. All his feast time that he's got set up. That's one thing we can enjoy. And I enjoy it every moment. Even though it gets a little weary and tiresome, I love going house to house every night and enjoying and sharing with everybody. Only one person I can think probably loves it more than me is my sister-in-law. But that's what it is. If you don't believe me, go look at all the pictures. But your crookedness is ingrained before me. We have some crookedness that we've got to get rid of. How do you say, I'm not defiled? Really? Have you looked at ourselves lately? I have not gone after the bowels. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. A swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. This is what he's comparing your ways to. A wild donkey used to the wilderness. Used to the wilderness. Sniffing the wind in the desire of her being. You have a covering already. In her time of mating, who turns her away? All those who seek her, not need to worry themselves in her month, they find her. If you're looking for something that you think you can wash off with lye and soap, you're mistaken. He has everything you need. Why would you want to look somewhere? This is what he compares you to when you get outside the compound of what he has established. Keep your foot from being bare and your throat from thirst. But you say it is useless because I love strangers and I go after them, and after them I go. We see Yisrael time and time again fail because of their hard-headedness. And we got a little bit of that in us too. Because why? That's our forefathers. That's our people. We inherit some of these traits. This time, you know what? Maybe just to start shaking them loose a little bit. And get that stuff off of us. Pray for our children, for our loved ones. Break that generational curse. If not, it goes on to your children's children. You pass the genes on. Because you heard the statement? Boy, you act just like your daddy. Or you act just like your mama. Where do you think that comes from? As a thief is ashamed when he is found out, so the house of Israel ashamed. They and their sovereigns and their heads and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their calamity, they say, arise, save us. Then you want help. When you get, but you know what I'm saying? When you're in a bind. Yeah. And you want to cry to him when you had all week to cry to him, but you wait till today? Shame on me. I'm so glad he reminded me the other night, you better get ready for the weekend. Don't worry about Wednesday. But where, this is what Yehovah is saying, but where are your mighty ones that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise. See if they save you in the time of your calamity. Let me tell you something. That load, them 10 camels of goods and stuff. You didn't think, you know, his life was on the line for that stuff. He had to defend Abraham's stuff, these good gifts that we get from our Father. We got to defend these things with our life. It has to be in us. Let me tell you something. The other day when I took that fishing trip with AJ, the two little girls, two little strawberries, I called them. Had them two beautiful little girls. Let me tell you something. I took them out, and I was hesitant about going offshore. You know what? Because my life was on the line for them little children. I don't know whether that guy knew it or not. That was my first time meeting him. But I was very cautious with them. They were so precious. Let me tell you, life is precious to him. And he wants the best for us. But we have to stay minnow in his hands by the well where he's at. Because we're going to see that. You think the hand of Yehovah the Yod is not going to show up for Eleazar? It's going to be right there. Before he's going to, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but before he finished speaking, here comes Rivka. Here comes another Resh. Another most important person that we have to look at. Because why? Because these two, I'm going to wait. Let me finish Jeremiah first. Oh boy, look, this stuff will get on you, and boy, let me tell you, I preached to my own self happy. Because I enjoyed just sitting down there in my coffee. I told Father Lord this morning, I got up, it's 2:30, I think I woke up this morning. I said, oh Lord, just one more hour. So 3:30, I got up, one more hour, I got up. I sat there and I drank 3 cups of coffee, speaking to the dog, me and the dog having Bible study. Let me tell you, after that, come 6 hours, I had to go close my eyes for a moment. But I made it. I did what I said I was supposed to do. And he let me know too. Trust me. Where are your mighty ones that you have made for yourself? Let them arise. See if they save you in the time of your calamity. Because your mighty ones have become as many as your cities, O Yehuda. Wow. You ever look in the land of Israel? A lot of cities over there in the land of Israel. He said, that's your mighty ones. They're more than the cities. Why do you complain to me? Because why do we complain to him? You hewed out your own cistern. You all have transgressed against me, declares Jehovah. You all. We all have. Just so you know. In vain have I stricken your children. That's harsh. Very harsh. Some things you don't want to read. Let me tell you something. I heard the message that the part where he said you hewed out cistern. I heard my uncle mention that years ago. He preached a message. But that's the only part he used. He ain't read none of this. I didn't even know this was in there. I read it for myself. Look, if you're going to teach something, read the whole thing. Don't just cherry pick. In vain I have stricken your children. They receive no instruction. Huh. I'm so glad now we're teaching our children the instructions. It's his instructions we teach. For what we've taught before, man's way. And we have to get back to teach his instructions for our children. Because that's the only thing that will save them. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Now we know who that destroying lion is. We know what happens if they put the blood on the door. We don't have it anymore. The blood on the doorpost. The destroyer was there, knocking. He's coming. And the scriptures say there wasn't in Mizraim. There wasn't not one dead in the house. There was a lot of people back then. Big cities of Mizraim. O generation, see the word of Yehovah. Have I been a wilderness to Israel? Or a land of darkness? He's been light the whole way. We just couldn't see it. Because we were too busy with our own stuff. Why do my people say we have broken loose? We come from you no more. What? We've seen what happened to those that did that. They're not here right now. That's what happens when you deviate from what he has designed for us. And it's a sad thing. Because our chairs should be full. But when we first started this, you remember back around 2014, 2015, when this first started in the Revelation series? We spun so fast, it spun some of them out of here. And that's the fact. Because they're not here. So you have to hold on. When something's spinning, you better hold on for your life. This is life-changing. It was for me. I can tell you that. Would a maiden forget her ornaments? How many of you want to guess where that goes back to? Or a bride, her husband? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Wow. My thought process this morning was to bring y'all a bunch of stones in here. But I wanted y'all to hear the message before you start throwing them. Because hold on, we're not finished yet. We ain't got the Rivka yet. This is just pre-stuff, warm-up, when you hit the oven to warm it up. That's all it is till we get the Rivka. But would a maiden forget her ornament? We're going to see a spot where she takes off. And I'm going to give you the definition stuff of it. She takes off. But she has her stuff with her. She has the ring. She has the bracelet. How we know? Because Levon sees it. So she don't forget. So how do you guess where you see where this ties back to? I promise you, it goes back there. Why do you embellish your way to seek love? Therefore, you have even taught the evil women your way. Even on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocent. You did not find them breaking in, but in spite of all these, you say, because I am innocent, certainly his displeasure shall turn from me. You, some things we've done in the past, we hope you have forgotten. I'm so thankful he put that behind us and given us a fresh start. He doesn't hold our transgressions against us. I wouldn't be here. I can only speak for me. You know where you're at because you hewed out your own cistern in time, in your time. See, I shall bring judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. Really? For all have sinned and come short of his glory. His glory. Why do you go about even so much to change your way? Why would you want to go somewhere else? What else is out there? But right here in his word, where you get it every week. It's here for us, available for us. It's in the slides. It's in on Wednesday night. It's on your phone. You carry it wherever you go. You can't change his way. But that's what he said. People change my esteem. We try to change his esteem. That ain't happening. Even of Mitzrayim, you are to be ashamed, as you are ashamed of Ashur. Even from this one, you shall go forth with your hands on your head, for Yehovah has rejected those you trust, and you shall not prosper by them. Look, this is a very tough chapter to go through, and I'm taking a little shortcut on it because there's some things I didn't have time for. Because if it did that, it'd be hard to get to Rivka. Because we have to keep moving. But we have to see that Yehovah is taking us out of places that I don't even know how to get out. Out of Mitzrayim, you were in the iron furnace. And you needed him. And he saw fit. He knew that one day you would be here today. Because why? He wants you. And we should want him. We should not want to deviate from his instructions. This is what this whole passage is all about. If not, he explains to us what we look like when we do. Trying to find another love. That's not another love out there. He is love. We've read that already. Back to Genesis. This was just the fountain. And how you know that's more scripture in there? I I was out of paper. I had to get my, to go to the dollar store and then get more writing paper, because I was even writing on the back of my paper with these notes. See, verse 13. See, I'm standing here by the fountain of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, let it be that the young woman, this is his prayer now, to whom I say, please let down your jar and let me drink. And she says, drink, and let me water your camels too. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant, Itzhak, and let me know by this that you have shown loving commitment to my master. He's concerned about his master. Because why? He loves his master. He loves Abraham. And this is what he's asking. So that's why I read the Matthew account first. And it came to be, before he had ended speaking, that, see, Rivka. You see the yod right there? How he just moved right in there? And Yah was just guiding his path the whole time. What do you think he's doing for us? If he did it back then, you think he won't do it for you and I? If we ask. Who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her jar on her shoulder. We need the water. It's a good time for just a little quick sip. All right. Now, I didn't go through the strong of Bethuel and Milcah. I dropped the ball on it because I got intrigued with Rivka. Now, Rivka is H7259 ensnarer. That don't even sound right. How you know? Ensnarer is a good thing. Because why? She's being observed. She's being watched. Because verse 16 says, and the young woman was very good looking. How you know? That's so men and ladies, that's some good looking people out there. But they're not for you. Like my son says in the Coast Guard, because I questioned him with that. I say, son, you see a lot of some nice-looking Coast Guard ladies on the boat? I'm sure. You're a young man. What do you expect? You're a handsome-looking dude, well-built, well-fit. He says, Dad, if they're wearing blue, they're not for you. That's the first warning right off the bat. There you go. That's a good way to get kicked out. That's exactly what he told me. I said, that's a good rule to follow, son. But we see this happen right here. So what? Ensnared. So he's ensnared by Rivka. Because why? What is she doing? She's running. She's very good looking. This is where that ensnare comes in at. It's not ensnared like it's a trap. But you understand, Rivka's a young woman right here. She's between the age of 10 and maybe 19, 15, whatever. She's a very... You know, there's some crazy stuff out there that I call baloney on. And you can go look at it for yourself. I'm not even going there. And a young woman was very good looking, a maiden, no man having known her. And she went down to the fountain, filled her jar, and came up. Let me tell you something. She's in shape. Because I'm sure this well that's right here wasn't no shallow water well. I'm sure that she either had to let it down by hand. Or maybe there was a wheel. I don't know. I wasn't there. But anyway, it took work to get the water. It takes work for you and I to get water. If not, we'll become dry. I promise you. This is only the first week. So let's look at Rivka. Ensnarer. To clog by tying up the fetlock. I've heard that word last year. And how do you know that I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I know this. But it's been so long, a whole year don't pass by. You know, you tend to forget about some things. And I was hoping Brother Rob didn't touch it either, because I wanted to be speaking. Boy, he was hitting all around, boy, this roof. I was like, oh boy, he's going to do it. Hold on. Fetlock. Let's look at the fetlock. To be fettering by beauty. Oh, boy. So you think Eleazar is not watching for his master's son? Well, you don't think he likes what he's seeing? He's in being ensnared by her because what is she doing? She's
slow down, spider.
A fetter is a chain or shackle fixed to the floor or ankle. This is where Yehovah wants to come and snare you and anchor you down here in this building to hear what he has to say. Especially on the spiritual side, in his word. He wants to anchor you and snare you. So I hope this message, I can get ensnared because we're about to get into it. I can ensnare you to look at his word and see what's his really, what is this fetlock if you don't remember or if you were here. Rivka means to hold captive by beauty. In English, Rebecca comes from the Hebrew word Rivka. That's where Rebecca, we get people named Rebecca. That's where it comes from, Rivka, from the Hebrew. What? I didn't know that. I learned something. But this fetlock, let me show you what it is. See if I can pull it up the best I could. He's like, what in the world has this got to do with the Torah portion? A horse's leg. Well, the fetlock, let me just explain to you where it's at. It would be, if I were a horse, it's the heel part right here, where the little nut part, the little bone part, the knuckle right here of the heel, the fetlock. Go look it up for yourself. Don't believe me. Go look for yourself. Fetlock is a key part of the horse's anatomy located in the lower leg. What in the world? Why are we talking about this? Well, I'm glad y'all asked. Next page. It is a hinge joint that allows the flexation or extension of the joint. Fetlock literally means footlock and refers to the small turf of hair situated on the rear of the fetlock joint. So this would be your fetlock. It says fetlock injuries can be caused by a single event, by a strike or fall, but often the result of frequent wear and tear over time. Now we're going to get to the spiritual side of it. If you were a horse, you broke your fetlock, depending on the age, on how bad you broke it, a lot of times, you know what they done? Took you out in the back of the pasture. You know what happened in the back of the pasture when they took you out back? Maybe the horse might still be good enough for breeding. And if it couldn't be repaired, they would have to put it down. The enemy wants to put you down. He wants to dismember you. He wants to cripple you by cupping your fetlock. If he can get the hold of your fetlock and cripple you, you would probably see people walking like this. Maybe their fetlock might be a little crippled. You can't run with a broken leg. A horse can't run. We see some signs of it. He said, how do you know? I'm going to get to the spiritual side. Lameness, swelling around the joint, not to put weight on the affected limb. You know, look, when your leg is hurting or other part of your body, that your foot, you're going to feel it. You're going to walk crippled. This is what the enemy wants to do to you. Because you won't spend time with Yehovah when he's trying to lock your leg and get you to stay in a spot where he wants to teach you something. Now, I had to learn this, by the way. This is not in none of the slides, because I went back to look. Because I thought maybe that's got to be in there somewhere, but it's not. So you got to go. I had to let him lock me with his crippling device to set me down to let me show you something. Because the enemy is out to cripple you. And if he can cripple you, then you can't do the job or the task. And if Rivka fails, we're not here. Because we're going to see she runs. And what is the horse known for? Running. Especially a racehorse. He's so valuable. Thousands, millions, them horses go for. How much more valuable than a horse to him? But we have to stay in His rules, in His boundaries. Because once you're crippled, can any defective, we read in the Torah point, can any defective priest go minister? No. If it had a defect in him, you couldn't do the job. Why? Because he's crippled. They made provision for him, but he couldn't be the high priest. Not to put weight on the effect of an increase in legalized heat around the area. Localized heat around the area. You know when your leg is swollen? Your foot? Your ankle? Because that's what the fetlock would be, the ankle. And there's a spot right there. So I have to look at that. So what does the owner do? What does a wise man do? Because he loves his horse? Because Jehovah loves us? He wants to do what they call cupping the fetlock. It's to protect you, to help you, so the horse don't have a serious injury, because it happens. So he tells us, and when you go look this up, a young horse, depending on the age and the size, if the fracture is not too bad, he has a healing process. But an older horse, more mature, can't, because he's crippled so bad, he's only good for one thing, and that's maybe he might be good for that. Depends, because sometimes they have to put him down. And when we seen the lamb, it had to be a perfect one. If not, you couldn't just take any old lamb, sacrifice to our master. I'm going to tell you, this fetlock, it really grabbed me, because that's what the enemy has been doing for years. And I'm going to tell you something, he had us crippled. You and I were crippled. But thanks be to Yehovah. He saw during this time that we would be here and able for him to go and put the coupling around it and be able to give a healing process in time. Amen. We needed that. Amen. If not, we'd all be walking around spiritually crippled. And you know, let me tell you something, you know when you're spiritually crippled, because your words don't come out right. Amen. Your actions don't come out right. Especially when you're around other people and you identify, you say, well, I'm in Faith Temple. Yeah, that's why I go to church. Then you're crippling me. Because then now you identify and you say, you're part of them. So what you say, what you do, where you go matters. How your conduct matters. See, this is all in this Torah portion right here in Rivka. But you'll never know that if you don't go sit down and let him cup you to the floor to keep you situated long enough for him to even teach you. Trust me, I didn't see this at all. I had no idea what I was getting into. This is like strange waters to me. And let me tell you something, I don't swim in strange waters. I have a fear of strange waters. Ain't that right, Papa Stoppa? Let me tell you, but this is what Rivka, this is who she is. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. You were running well. You were running well. You were a good runner. Who held you back from obeying the truth? What a question. So what are we talking about? The horse running, the Rivka running. She's being ensnared by Eleazar watching her, every move. Why? Because she's about to be a good candidate for his master's son. So you think he's not paying attention to what she's doing? How she's hastening? I'm not good at this one. I'm better with this one. But the scripture says, you were running well. We have some good runners in here. Are you still going to run? Because remember, this is just the first week. We still got 6 more Shabbat to go before we get to Shavuot. You can see how all this is in there? We have to let him cup your fetlock and sit there and obey and listen when he says to listen. Spend time with him. That's the main focus, to chain you to the floor, to spend time. Now there's some exercises they use on horses where they take his leg, his foot, and they massage him and warm him up, get him ready. Because nobody just wants to just take off running. You have to be taught something first. We have to learn something first. But we've been around wrong for years. We got them saved and pew, out the door they went with no instructions. Mm-hmm. We did that for years. And that's why a lot of us are not here today. You were running well. Who held you back from obeying the truth? What a question. Who held you back? What is your excuse? Or is there going to be any excuses before him? Let's go back to Genesis. That was just that one question I had to throw in there. Because we're talking about running. And the young woman, verse 16. Let me make sure I didn't leave nothing out. And the young woman was very good looking, a maiden, no man having known her. And she went down to the fountain, filled her jar, and came up. Excuse me. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." And she said, "Drink, my master." And she hurried. See, she hurried and let her jar down to her hand and gave him a drink. So obviously she was carrying it, this jug of water. And she let it down to give him a drink. This is what he asked for. So he's seeing this, all these things unfold right in front of him. So now he got his eyes on Rivka. He's ensnared by her. Because why? And she said, "Drink, my master." And she hurried and let down her jar down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "Let me draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking." And she hurried and emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the fountain to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now, can you see poor little old Rivka? You think she would have been a candidate? You think you're a candidate if you're hanging around something that you shouldn't hang around and you're crippling, but your words on the spiritual side, your words are not matching. We have to, as believers, as followers, should really slow down ourselves in this walk with him and examine ourselves. If not, in James, what he says, you're like a man who look in the mirror and you forget what you even look like because we're moving so fast. He wants to spend time with us. There was a word I came across, and I can't remember where I saw it. I think it might have been in the Jeremiah account, but I'm going to give it to you. It seems fitting right here. It's the word degenerate. It's having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities considered normal and desirable, showing evidence of decline. You're walking around with a limp because your fetlock has been injured. This is what happens. I knew it had to come in here somewhere, so this would be a good book. We're talking about running. We're talking about her being observed. And let me tell you something. You're being observed. The world is watching you. I can assure you that every time we're out in that boat, those who fishing charters, whatever your business, when your garbage truck, they watching you. I can promise you. They want answers. It's up to us how we answer, how we respond. In a situation, especially in a crisis situation, more or less a normal day, you know, just on a job. Look, camels, that was true what he said last night, because I just went and looked at my own study. An average camel will drink 30 gallons of water in a setting. But if he's really, really thirsty, he'll drink up to 50 gallons. So 10 camels, 450, 500 gallons. This is no small task. She's fit. He's watching her. Mm-hmm. He wants her. By this time, he wants her for Itzhak. It's beautiful. It really is. So when you got to that part of the camel, I said, oh man, he's hitting by the camels. Look, we get thirsty, just driving around the boats. Look, ain't no, you get that bottle of water tastes so good, you want a second bottle. Let me tell you. Just because it don't, because you need it. It's good for you. It's refreshing. We need water. And look, after a good, them guys don't understand. After we drink that bottle, they drinking what they like. Me and Pop said, I can't wait to get me a cup of coffee. Coffee? You got that right. I need something to wash the water down. Well, we need coffee. Let me tell you. So we're talking about running. The word run in this passage is H7323, roots. Roots is to run, runners, to run swiftly, dart. There's another word in the Brit Hadashah, run, is G5140T, it's called treko. It's to run of person in haste, of those who run in a race, course. Doesn't Shaul mention that? You see how we can go. It goes on and on. This doesn't stop. It doesn't. It goes to a root word, G2359, treeks. Treeks, T-H-R-E-E-K-S. It's a feminine noun. The hair of the head, wow, or the hair of animals. I got, what are we talking about? Because where's the hair on the fetlock of the horse? Amen. Y'all better be writing this stuff down. Go back and check it for yourself. That's all you got to do. The hair of the head. Didn't I mention the race? I never seen the race in here, but because that's way in the beginning of my nose. By the time I get to this, the race is in there. We just got to slow down, let him cuff you to the floor, and he'll be able to teach you something. Because trust me, this stuff ain't in the slides. It's not. Oh boy. It goes to another root word. You say, why all the root words? Because you need it. G1408. Dromes. It's the masculine noun. A course or the course of life or office. We on life's journey. And on life's journey, you might get a little tired. You're going to start wearing out. But run. If you're going to run, run for him. If you're going to stand for him. Don't let the enemy ensnare you with his ensnarements and his traps and cripple you. Then you can't. Then you got excuses. All our butts start coming out that need caulking. Because why? Because our butts are leaking. We don't want to be ensnared by the enemy. We want to be ensnared with the scripture. His ensnarement, like Rifta, he's ensnared because why? Because she's being the candidate that he can use to bring the future of Israel. Itzhak. But they have what is the name of her son? Yaakov. What did Yaakov do before he even came out the womb? Huh? What did he grab? The heel. I'm good. See, y'all smart. Y'all know. See how all this ties in? If you don't see the beauty of it, because you're not spending time with him. You don't give him a chance to even set you down to guard your legs. Because why? You need him. You can't. Look, it's hard for a one-legged man to fight. Or it's hard when you got an injury. When I broke my leg that time, let me tell you, that wasn't fun. We were having fun, but it wasn't fun after. And you know what didn't think it was funny? The bill collector didn't think it was funny. So you had to do? Put a garbage bag over my leg and go catch minnows. That's when I was in the minnow business. Because they don't want to hear that excuse, well, you broke your leg playing flag football, whatever we were doing that day at Fort Jackson. Them Bill Clinton don't want to care about that. Look, if you want to run, run for him.
I got my card. Let me give you one more definition. Participate. Precipitate. It's cause. It's P-R-E-C-I-P-I-T-A-T-E.
I was going to get to that, but I'm just going to give it to you early.
Cause an event or a situation, typically that one is a bad or undesirable, to happen suddenly, unexpectedly, or prematurely.
Because this is going to tie in, but you can see this was no bad situation. It's premature because she's young and he's bringing her gold and gifts. And look, she runs to her family, but she doesn't leave her gifts. She takes them with them. It's called impetuous, the act of having done quickly and without thought or care. She grabbed them things and she ran to the house. I can see her, mommy, what do these things mean? This man's giving me bracelets and a nose ring. Can you see this conversation going that way? Why is this man? Because she's not understanding. He knows what he's there for. She don't know yet. But it's about to come out. So I'm going to stop right there. Look, you have to let it just, that fetlock, when you get into that, that's some more little key elements in there to look at. But I just thought you wanted to bring it back to your attention. Go back and listen to last year's message about this subject. But like I said, don't give time or thought or care about the enemy. Because if he's got you crippled, you it's hard to do any work for the master. Especially your leg, that fetlock. I don't want to be put down. But that's what happens. The cost of trying to get the horse repaired is cheaper to just put him to sleep. Hence, send him out to the pasture. Man, thank y'all. Amen. All right. Let's